Never stop learning and always be open to the process of learning and to an opportunity to be better and to do better, and never step away from an opportunity to make a connection.
Some students in Western New York held their own student conclave. It was held at Nazareth College, and even an ice storm couldn't keep us away. We did some interviews on campus, and then, yeah, you guessed it, went out and had beers. Here's what it sounded like. Show's brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, your single source for PTs seeking certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training, plus the equipment that you need to apply it. OwensRecoveryScience.com. Hey, you want to go to the next conference but don't have the money?
Oh, yeah.
Well, PT Puncast, the APTA, and Aureus Medical Group have your back. Free entry into the conference for you and a guest. A $1,000 Visa gift card for you to use on travel, hotel, and food expenses. And we'll make you part of the podcast.
Heck yeah.
How do you win? Enter online at ptpintcast.com or on our social media channels at ptpintcast. It's all powered by Aureus Medical Group. Looking for a job as a physical therapist anywhere in the U.S.? Aureus has you covered. Online at aureusmedical.com and the American Physical Therapy Association at apta.org. Contest ends April 30th, 2018.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Oh my God. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
This is
the PT Pinecast.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist Jimmy McKay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are at Nazareth College right now. There we go. We're broadcasting live. We got a little student conclave going on right now. We say welcome to NAS. We are in Rochester, located in upstate New York on the Genesee River. Although we're not actually sure where upstate or downstate New York begins, Rochester is most certainly located in upstate New York because they had four seasons in one 24-hour period. Am I right? A lot of notable Rochester Arians, people from Rochester. Let's see, we got George Eastman Kodak, Frederick Douglass, an African-American social reformer from Rochester, Susan B. Anthony, women's rights advocate, and, you know, from The Coin, actress Kristen Wiig from SNL and Bridesmaids. Athletics, a big part of the history of Rochester as well. Olympic swimmer Ryan Lochte. Yeah. Right? Right? No? Okay. Two-time Olympic medalist, FIFA World Cup champion, and six-time U.S. Soccer Athlete of the Year. First ever soccer player to be named Athlete of the Year by the Associated Press, Abby Wambach from Rochester. So welcome to Nazareth College. Everyone just calls it NAS, home of the Golden Flyers. Did not know this, but because of Wikipedia, I find out all incoming students get a Golden Flyer keychain from Alumni Relations. Is that true, or is that just on Wikipedia? And then you're supposed to write. Yeah, we got people shouting it out. Good, that is encouraged. And you give it to someone who made a difference in their life before you leave. Let's see, we've got, Jeff Van Gundy, too, head coach of the NBA from 96 to 2007, was a notable alum of Nazareth College. It's here for Naz. So now we got him fired up. So our first guest on the show is someone who is not a stranger to me. We met before I was ever in PT. Let's hear from Mike Houston. So we have a history.
Yes, we do.
And I remember I was still a radio DJ, and we were going to a concert.
Guns N' Roses. In Wilkes-Barre,
Pennsylvania. The fact is, you know how old the crowd is when you say Guns N' Roses, and you get like, yeah, it was fine. Dude, this is like 15 years ago. We would have got so many devil horns and like hell yeahs. Like, Guns N' Roses. We got crickets, man.
Nothing.
So they were like bigger than Justin Bieber back in the day before the internet. Let's put it that way, just sizing it up. So we have some mutual friends, and you guys were coming to where I was working radio and got a call, so we met up beforehand. And I remember, I don't think I had decided to go back to PT school at that point, or had I? I can't remember.
You'd mentioned that you were, I think you were taking your prereqs.
It was still a long shot, because you got to apply, right? It's not guaranteed entry. We know that. So I think the idea was, I was kind of trying to size, like, read the situation. I was like, I'm thinking about applying. You were like, yeah, good luck. So that gave me some confidence. But maybe he was fight clubbing me. I don't know. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us here.
Yeah.
Coming here.
So describe the day. What's the day been like? So it's a conclave that was, is this the first one?
This is the first one that we've done here. Last year was, where was last year's?
Hunter College.
The year before was in, was at Deauville up in Buffalo. So this is kind of the upstate New York student conclave. So we try and bring speakers in from some of the different colleges. Would you guys have about 120 students here
that's
today?
That's a big deal. Good so for you. Let's hear good. For you guys and the students to help with that on. That's cool. Yeah, I've been to a couple of these. I was just at the North Carolina student conclave, and they put together but similar size, and that's the idea. It's like, we're in New York, but it's more than a city. It's a state, yes. And sometimes people forget that. I'm from upstate New York, too. The thing is, sometimes you're not near a place where they put these conferences on, and, PT school is as long as it feels like. It's not that long, so in 3 years, you might... geographically or financially not be able to get to a conference. So the fact that you guys are doing this says a lot about the next generation of students. So good on you guys. So what's your relationship here at NAS?
I'm a clinical assistant professor at Nazareth. I've been here for 4 years. I teach a lot of the clinical classes as well as a business program. I've owned a practice for 15 years.
So that's a cool dual role. You get to see literally the both ends of that spectrum.
Yeah, it's been great here. I love seeing the students, and hopefully I give them a little bit of knowledge. I don't know, and I think they appreciate some of my sarcasm, not always all of it. But.
Yeah, like I got about a 50% batting average in terms of like trying to be funny. It doesn't really, but I edit that out, so it just sounds like I'm really funny by the time this thing hits iTunes. So what are you passionate about? I mean, you literally straddle both worlds, the clinical world, the business world, and the cool part about this profession is you can be passionate about both those things. But what gets you fired up?
Teaching really does. I started teaching as an adjunct probably 12 years ago for Ithaca College, and they closed the campus that I worked at. And when that happened, I kind of was like, now what do I do? And the opportunity here at NAS came up 4 years ago, and it was perfect timing for me to be able to come in. And so I'm actually kind of phasing out of some of the clinical stuff and doing more teaching now.
Yeah. That now what do I do moment. Like, talk about that for a second. Like, because you were doing something you liked, and then it went away through no fault of your own. And newsflash, that can happen to you in any field that you're in at any given moment.
Yeah, it was interesting, especially because my biggest fear, especially as a student, was speaking in front of crowds.
So you're glad I picked you to go first, right?
Perfect.
You were just the closest guy to the podium.
So that was, honestly, public speaking was my biggest fear. And I happened to stop back at the Ithaca College campus in Rochester after I broke my hand. And I was seeing a doctor around the corner. So I'm like, I'm going to stop by campus. I saw one of my old professors, and he goes, we're going to turn this into a doctorate program. We need some adjuncts. What do you think? I said, first of all, you must not remember who I was in college. And then I said, second of all, I don't really like speaking in front of people. He goes, well, we can do small group classes first. I said, all right. So I started teaching a PBL class, groups.
What's PBL?
Problem-based learning.
Oh, okay.
So small groups, problem-based learning class. And then kind of went into doing labs. And then I started doing lectures. And just when I was getting my stride, they closed. And it was like, now what do I want to do? And I was getting to the point, I was like 13 years in practice. Didn't own it for 13. I hadn't owned it for 13. But it's just kind of getting to that point where I felt like I needed something different. And like I said, the opportunity here at NAS came up, and I jumped at it.
So I want to point out a couple things I just said, because this is what I do, right? So I find a lot of parallels between what I used to do as a radio guy, like interviewing people and doing evaluations for businesses and communications. And when I finally got down and sat down to my first subjective, I was like, oh, you see a lot of patterns. Things pop up. So you said you saw something you wanted to do, something that really inspired you, and there was this thing between you, and it was fear of public speaking, and then you just did it anyway. But you did it the right way, which you put your toe in the water and you got past it.
Yep.
That's big.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember my first lecture was 90 students.
So that's small.
Yeah. 90 students and talking about research and research statistics. So it doesn't get much more boring
super,
than that.
Super fun topic with a bunch of people.
Right.
Awesome.
Yeah, it doesn't get much more boring. And I got some laughs, which was interesting. And I was like, I kind of like this. And just kind of kept going with it.
Yeah.
It was great.
It's a cool feeling. I mean, you guys present, right, as students, where we're forced to present. How many of you hate public speaking but have to present anyway? Yeah. All right. That's not bad. But you get, like, I don't drink coffee, but you get kind of a buzz from it when you hit like that. When you get a giggle, you're like, oh, look at that. Look what we found. Ooh, how do I get that again? But also, the second thing that I picked up when you were talking there was that you asked yourself, what am I really inspired by? What do I really like to do? And then you figured out how to get that in your life, in your practice. That's huge.
Yeah. No, and like I said, it's been great. I love coming to work every day. I don't know if the students love me coming to work every day, but I do love coming to work every day. And like I said, sometimes they get the sarcasm, sometimes they don't, but...
Yeah. and we'll highlight again, we've said this before on the show, this profession's so vast and so wide in terms of all the things you can do. Take a lap. I mean, I interviewed somebody from North Carolina the other day, and she listed like 9 or 10 different, not just settings, but things that she had done for a significant amount of time that were no two were even similar. And she said she loved every minute of it, wouldn't change it. So looking back, you know, now that you own a practice, looking back, what's a piece of advice you'd give yourself then on day one?
From in the practice ownership?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a loaded question, right?
Good. I came all the way here to ask loaded questions.
It's interesting. I think that a word of advice, I like the way I did it. I definitely would have probably trained under a therapist that had better experience with business before I did, because I didn't have a whole lot of business knowledge. My father owned a business. I kind of took what he did and did that. So I probably would have taken some business classes. We didn't have a business class in college. And I was definitely an eye-opening experience those first couple of years. Now, I was lucky enough that I was busy. I was really busy the first few years.
Too busy to know what you're doing wrong.
Right. Exactly.
That's good.
And then the problem comes when copays start going up and deductibles start going up and large corporations are now buying up a lot of PT practices. And so you could be bad and still do well. And now that's definitely changed. That environment has changed a lot.
Pendulum swings.
Right. Pendulum swings. I have taken a lot of business classes now and been able to kind of get myself up to date where I should have been, and was able to do pretty well for a long time.
But. All right. So last question before we do the final question, but same exact question.
Okay.
What advice would you give yourself as a physical therapist, as a clinician, knowing now?
Take advantage of every opportunity you have to get continuing education. If somebody's willing to pay for it, do it. Just go and do it. And if not, pay for it yourself. It will pay off. That's the biggest thing. And honestly, make friends with every doctor you possibly can. because you have to have those conversations with them. You're calling them all the time. And if they're hearing from you and they don't know who you are, they're not going to respect that. You need to be able to make friends with as many doctors as you possibly can.
All I heard there was, I'll translate again, make a connection, right? Make a connection. And it's not about buying someone lunch necessarily, but making a connection and showing, I always call it the value proposition. Here's what I can bring to your patients. Yep. And this way they can be our patients together. And we can both take care of them in terms of a continuum of care. Make a connection and maybe you'll learn something.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
I learn more from conversations with doctors about surgeries. I call them up. I see a surgery I've never seen before. I call the doctor up. They take me through it. Tell me how it's done. It's
learning more from conversations. That's a great idea. I wish I had that. But yeah, no, it works. Right?
Right.
Yeah. All right. So three questions. Are you ready?
Oh, boy.
We gave you no prep whatsoever.
None.
Want to thank our sponsors, Arias Medical Staffing. They find PTs jobs. That's it. So they came to me when I launched this show, and they were like, we want to sponsor your show. I was like, cool. What do you do? And I thought for some, like, maybe they were like Con Ed guys or they were trying to sell a product. They're like, we find PTs jobs. I was like, oh, well, that's cool. Well, how much does it cost? Like, if I'm a PT, I want to find a job with you. Like, oh, it's free. I was like, oh. Well, that sounds great. Yeah, you could be a sponsor. Welcome. So it's AURUSmedical.com. All 50 states, all settings, whatever. No like obligation. You don't sign up and you're owned by them forever. So just call. The website again, AURUSmedical.com. Okay, so you're in upstate New York.
Yes.
Where what city is your practice in?
It's in Geneva.
Geneva. All right. Yep. So you have 13 weeks. You can go somewhere anywhere in the US for 13 weeks. Where do you go and be a PT?
Anywhere in the U.S. to be a PT.
Yeah.
Travel PT, you're talking?
Yeah, 13 weeks. Yeah.
13 weeks anywhere. I would definitely go somewhere down south. They're not expecting ice storms today down there.
I don't know why you'd want to go somewhere warm.
Yeah, I don't know. Arizona always looks like a great place to go. Yeah.
Well, here's the radio segue. Arias can get you a job in either of those places. See how we did that? Second question, what's something you read that really inspired you?
Something I've read that really inspired me.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be PT related. It could be a book. It could be a blog. It could be a quote. Anything.
I'll tell you, the first book I remember reading that I would ever wanted to read again was The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, there you go. Like, just give them a synopsis. What is it? What'd you get out of it?
What I got out of it was I hated English. Yeah. Absolutely hated English class. And I was taking an AP English class, just hated it. And so I pick up this book I'm reading. I'm like, you know what? This stuff doesn't have to be boring. You can actually write things that aren't boring. And that is a great book.
Yeah.
Love it.
All right. Third question. who's someone within the profession that the audience should know more about? Yeah. Somebody you made a connection with that you're like, yeah, that woman, she's got it going. She's got the right frame of mind or... Someone you learned from.
Someone I learned from.
This is a nicer way of me saying, give someone a shout out.
Give someone a shout out. I can tell you, so on my last clinical here, it was in Rochester. I was at University of Sports Medicine in Rochester. He wasn't even my CI, and hopefully my CI is not out here anyplace, but because she was great. But Mike Naparella.
Okay.
He owns a practice here in Rochester. It was the first time I thought about functional movement. And that's what he does, just functional movement. It was amazing stuff to be able to kind of connect with him on that. And he taught me a ton, and he wasn't even my CI.
That's cool. It's here for that. All right, last part of your interview.
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Fox Rehabilitation. Their mission, to rehabilitate lives by believing in the strength of people. They believe in their clients and their ability to achieve what they once thought impossible. Optimal function to rehabilitate their lives. Find out more at foxrehab.org.
All right, your parting shot is your last opportunity to like leave a drop the mic moment, don't drop the mic because I don't own that one. So what would you want to leave? I mean, obviously we're in front of a bunch of students here at NAS. So what's your parting shot for the students?
So you guys are you're getting into an amazing field. The feelings you get that when you treat somebody and they come back and they just tell you how much it meant to them, it's awesome. So, you know, keep going. You're on the right track. If you're here right now, you're on the right track. You're doing the right things. You're going to continuing education before you even need continuing education. You haven't finished your regular education yet, right? So you guys are doing the right stuff. Keep going. It's such a fulfilling career.
Love that. Parting shot. Mike Houston, everybody.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and now Snapchat.
At PT Pintcast.
And online at ptpintcast.com.
Hey guys, the Movement Maestro here, letting you know that Rock Tape is so much more than just a tape company. We are a movement company. Move stronger, longer with the world's best kinesiology tape, topical pain relief, mobility equipment, and protective gear. But that's not all. Learn from the best with our industry-leading continuing education courses. Want 20% off your first product purchase? Head on over to shop.rocktape.com and use the code PTPINECAST. Again, for the folks in the back, that's shop.rocktape.com and enter the code PTPINECAST. Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape, the movement industry's new standard for education.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show now. It's here for our next guest right here, Andrew Bartlett. All right, what's your story? How do you, when someone says, what do you do, or what's your background, what do you say?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Probably my story is kind of a long one. I wasn't thinking PT when I first came out of high school. I didn't think that was my area. I was thinking that I wasn't mature enough. I wasn't ready. You know, just wasn't my thing. I always wanted to work with people. I went for elementary ed.
Little people.
Yeah, I think I would still love that job. I mean, just anytime you can interact and make an impact for somebody's life, I think it's a big deal. So was going that route, and then I was introduced to some PTs, and I knew that was my area, so I went back and went for it.
Did they fight club you?
No, they did not.
Okay. Would have been nice to have someone just say, yeah, come on this way, I'll show you everything, don't worry about it. But maybe I needed that, right?
Yeah.
Like kind of kick.
Yeah, I did need a kick.
Yeah.
Lots of kicks.
So now you're in PT and you're educating. So that whole elementary education thing, like I'm bad at statistics. I wouldn't even know where to find this statistic, but I'd love to know how many people in the profession right now come from a weird background, like maybe a non-traditional background, but you bring something to it, right? So what do you think you brought from that background to the field of PT with you?
Yeah, I think the foundation of teaching and actually just being a person is actually caring. It's kind of my foundation is really caring about people, whether it's kids or adults or whoever. If you can have that compassion, I think you can make an impact in everybody's life.
Difficult to teach that, right? You have that or you might not have that, but...
Yeah, I think we do a nice job of it. I think our faculty leads by example and shows by example. So I think if you, you know... I think we are ones where we just go about our business and hopefully the students see that we do care. You know, I'm sure at times they probably think that we just push on exams and push them hard, but deep down, if we didn't care, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing because I can speak for most of the faculty, if not all the faculty, the fact that you certainly take a little pay cut to teach.
Yeah.
For sure. And we could certainly just be practicing in the field and do it that way, but we are in this area and teaching because we want that and we are compassionate about it.
Yeah. What's your passion in PT? Do you have a particular population that you liked working with, or something that really drew you in?
Yeah, one of my jobs was working in home care, and it seems like every patient that I saw had diabetes or some kind of heart condition or pulmonary issue. So it was just my natural fit to kind of go into that area more, and I teach the cardiopulmonary content here.
How do you like the students in the audience? Have you taken that class yet? Yeah, they're all just nodding. How was it? It was great. how long ago was it? Because you're shell-shocked, it seems like. All of you just kind of responded very blankly, like, yes, we love it. That's not an easy subject to learn. And that's the thing about PT school, is like you're literally learning from a bunch of very random areas and trying to tie them all together. So that's not an easy area to teach or learn.
No, it's not. But if you... You know, everybody has a heart, everybody has a lung, and we, you know, the people who teach cardiopulm, we know that we take second, third, fourth, fifth fiddle. It's not like the most popular content. I understand that, but what we do try to, relate to the students is that just because they don't come in with a primary diagnosis of heart failure or, a pulmonary issue, if you look down at the medical list, you'll most likely see that the person does have a pulmonary or cardiac diagnosis or some risk factor. So that's kind of what the focus is.
And you should probably pay attention to that too, because I think they're all connected, right? I mean, it's inside that same person that you're working with. You should probably pay attention to that.
For sure.
And I'd be remiss if we talk about cardiopulm not to talk about a guy who's on Twitter too, Dr. Rich Severin, whose his hashtag is vitals are vital. I feel like whenever you talk to a cardiopulm PT, that's what they say, is make sure you take those vitals. And they get real angry.
Actually, I have a t-shirt that says vitals are vitals.
That's what we're talking about. How did I know that? It's because there are themes that keep popping up, and that's one of them. So take your vitals. What makes Nazareth, Nazareth? All PT programs are the same because they have to check all the same boxes, right? But they're not. So what makes this place different?
Yeah, I think what makes Nazareth different from, all the PT schools are awesome because, they all have to be accredited and they have all great professors. But I think what makes NAS is that, we try to pride ourselves in the fact that we are a smaller school and our office doors are always open. The only reason they're closed is maybe a private conversation that we don't want other students / faculty to hear. But our office doors are open. And we have to put office hours on our syllabus, but truth be told, we want people just to stop by and say hi, and yes, to go over kind of test questions or course content, but we also really like, and we pride ourselves with it, we want to know what people are doing in their lives, so it doesn't have to be always course content. We really pride ourselves with knowing that family and health comes first over academics. We're not doing surgery. That stuff can be put on hold. We want to make sure you guys are healthy, and you want to make sure you're connected with your family.
Students agree? Good. I like that. So what else are you passionate about? Cardiopulm, students, little students, small children, vitals?
Sure. Family, friends. I love doing athletics. I used to be doing quite a few triathlons, too.
Yeah, all right.
I had a hip replacement this past July, so the running is out, but I plan on doing some of those aquathons. Yeah, yeah, I love it. So I'm looking forward to it doing the summer.
I say that triathlon is a sport that allows me to be mediocre at three things in one day.
That's right. A long day, too.
Yeah, a very long day for me. You ready for three questions?
I would love three questions.
All right, three questions from our friends at RAS Medical Staffing. First question, we're in Western New York in spring when there's going to be an ice storm, so this is an easy one. Where would you want to go in the U.S. and be a PT if you could go anywhere you want?
California.
Yeah, done. I'm there with you. Second question, I love this because it just expands I'm never going to get to the end of my reading list. What's something that you read that really inspired you?
Actually, I'm reading a book. It's a Christian book. It's about Moses, and I like the story, and it's written very well. The book is called Where's the Lamb? It's just a nice read at night before I go to bed.
Third question, who's someone that the audience should know more about?
I guess I'll pick somebody from the Cardio Palm area. I think Helen Grass is a great person, a great mentor to get to know if you like the Cardio Palm content.
And I always like when someone says name of someone who's already been on my show. She was a fantastic guest.
Fantastic.
Wrote a giant textbook on Cardio Palm.
Yes.
She's like one of the leaders. She teaches a content course too. So you ready for your parting shot?
I am ready.
Parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Fox Rehabilitation. Their mission, to rehabilitate lives by believing in the strength of people. They believe in their clients and their ability to achieve what they once thought impossible. Optimal function to rehabilitate their lives. Find out more at foxrehab.org.
What would you want to leave with the audience?
I think I mentioned it to at least a couple classes, so I'll stick with it. I think you should go to that cliff. Jump and don't worry about it. Go for it. Don't be 50 years old and say, geez, I wish I did that. You know, so take a chance. Somebody's going to catch you. That's it.
Let's stand for Andrew Bartlett.
Working at his orbicularis oris until failure. Jimmy McKay on the PT Pinecast.
All right, we're back at Nazareth College in upstate New York. Student conclave going on. We've got Jennifer Fay. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
When we brought all the guests to the stage, we mentioned your name and looked like you had no idea you were going to be on the program today.
I had no idea. I was going to be walking up on the
stage. But we just wing stuff, right? Yeah. I mean, the TV people into scripts. I was a radio guy. We just kind of wing a microphone and a speaker and we're good.
I love it.
So I have no notes about Jennifer whatsoever. But here's the thing. You're going to be in clinic and you're going to be handed a patient. You're not going to have any time to look at their chart. And you say, hi, I'm insert your name here and tell me about you. So we're going to learn about Jennifer now. So tell us about you. What do you do?
Well, I've been a physical therapist for about 20 years, practicing in the area in the field of neuro. I've done a lot of neuro PT, acute care, and pediatrics.
Okay.
And then I just joined the Nazareth faculty full time in September.
Welcome to the class. Welcome to the school. Any particular population you love? Where it's just funny how we get drawn to this field and we're like, I just want to be a PT, I want to help everybody. And then you get here like, oh, I don't like that. Stay away from. Ooh, no. You can have fun with that. And you're like, look at this over here. This is kind of cool. I'm gonna poke on this. So what in neuro? Like, really, you want to poke on it?
Well, I really enjoy treating for adult neuro diagnoses, so like strokes and spinal cord injury and brain injury. And then I also have a soft spot in my heart for the little people.
Yeah, it's here for the kids. This one's for the kids. I think it's really funny that like no one bats an eye in just in PT and PT students when you're like, I really, really like strokes and traumatic brain injury. And everybody like knows exactly what you're talking about. You get it. You don't like it, but we say we like it. So that's kind of a wide array. But the cool part is there are themes that are throughout it. What are some of the things that those people, not the diagnosis, those people have taught you? What are some of the lessons that you really have learned in this profession working with those people?
Well, you know, I've met most of those people in the acute rehabilitation setting, so, you know, in an inpatient setting, and you're really meeting people when they're walking through some of the most challenging days of their lives, and you're meeting people when they are dealing with crisis, both individually and then with their families, and you are a person who meets them and says, I'm going to help you find a path. I'm going to help you find your way through this to see what's next, to help you build the strength that you need to build, to recover the skills that you need to so that you can get back to your life.
Yeah, I want you to clap for that because that's awesome. You didn't even know you were going to be on the show and you dropped that?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to put your parting shot in the beginning because that was great. No, but I think if you instill that in the beginning, you've got a great, you just set it up for success right there, that whatever comes after that is going to be, it's going to be, I mean, you're going to go through it together. And here's how, I have no idea what's going to happen. We're going to go through it together. Relax. I'm here.
Yeah, because I mean, really, that's to me what PT is. It's about movement and muscles and exercises and strength, but PT is really about building relationships with people.
There's that theme. If you listen to my show at all, you're going to hear that. That is woven into every single episode. So it's about a connection. You know, it's fun. So what do you teach here? You teach in neuro?
I teach in peds, and I'm also our on-campus clinic manager.
So you're busy.
A little.
Yeah, a little bit. So, talk about the on-campus clinic.
Oh, well.
I think I drove passes across the street here. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. We have awesome clinics here at Nazareth. They're in our York Wellness and Rehabilitation Institute. And the exciting thing about our clinics are two things. First of all, our clinics are open to people that are part of the Nazareth community, but also people that are part of the greater Rochester community who are not able to access PT services via traditional means. So either they lack insurance, they have their insurance benefits have expired, they don't progress quickly enough. So our clinics are pro bono and provide a service to people both here that are part of our NAS family and people in the surrounding community.
I like that you get to work opening that up to people on campus too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. And then who gets to work there?
All of our students get to work.
Even first years?
Even first years.
You have to touch people first year?
Yep. Yeah.
There you go.
Yep, so that's a really unique part of our program. So from the very first, I guess the first semester, the students spend time in clinics working either one-on-one or in groups with different populations.
So usually they set, it's like a middle school dance usually when we do student conferences. Usually like the students tend to gravitate and sit in years. So where are the first years? This is a radio show. Where are the first years? There we go. Second years? Third years? All right, so the second and third years are like, we don't even know who those guys are.
All right.
We're going to sit together. Yeah. So let me ask the third years, since the second and third years. We'll come to you guys next. Do you get to work alongside of the first years and everything? Good. So do you see the progression, or do you at least see like yourself in them? And then just shout out like great experience, good experience. What did you love about it? Everything. Good answer. Also my favorite type of bagel. And then you've got to have, what did you start?
Well, I've been an adjunct for about 3 years,
okay.
But full-time just in September.
So you, the cool part is you get to see that real awkward, pokey, don't know how to, all of a sudden you lose the ability to speak when you're in front of a patient, and then progress to like, okay, I got this. That's got to be really fun.
It is. It's exciting to see them walk down their path of their education. And now, to see, like you said, first years being so nervous about that first interaction, knowing, worried, will they say the right thing? Will they do the right thing? Will everything go okay? And then seeing our third years now who are, ready to go out and to start their own careers.
That's cool. So, yeah. Listen, I'll tell you, for any pre-PT students who are listening right now or first years who maybe aren't in a clinic or anything, I used to speak for a living in front of thousands of people every single day. And in first year, in front of my first patient, I lost the ability to articulate English. I had nothing. My tongue was like four sizes too big, and I was like, whoa, 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 what happened? I was really good at this. This is what I prided myself on. But it happens, because you haven't spoken like that before. And as we know with neuro, you need reps. I need some reps. So it's great you guys get it on campus.
Yeah, so they get a chance to practice here in a really kind of safe and sheltered environment and to kind of work out some of the kinks and figure it out so that when they go out on their clinical placements, hopefully they feel like they have some confidence in knowing what they have to do and knowing what their strengths are and knowing what they want to work on.
Yeah. When you get into clinic, you remember how to speak English. That's always important. Your CI is looking for that first. It's not on your CPI, but that should, you're being graded on that as well. You ready for three questions?
Sure.
You guys have the advantage because you guys have heard this. All right, so first question from our sponsors, RES Medical Staffing. Where in the U.S. would you go? You're in Western New York. Where in the U.S. would you want to go? 13
Hawaii.
Weeks. Hawaii, yes. That's a very popular answer. I think like the top three are like Hawaii, California, Colorado.
Well, they're about as different from upstate New York as you can get.
Yeah. But we love it. I mean, I went to school in upstate New York.
Love it here, just not during the ice storm.
Not ice stormy in mid-April-ish. That I could do without. Well, just so you know, they have RES has placements in all 50 states, including Hawaii. I actually knew a guy who used to do Hawaii, Colorado, Florida, Colorado, Cape Cod, Colorado. So he would just keep going and taking assignments and always had that home base, Colorado. You can do that. Second question is, what's something you read that really inspired you? What should I put on my reading list?
I really liked the book Quiet by Susan Cain, which is a book basically about the power of introverts in our society and how our society really generally values extroverts and how we live in a loud, fast-paced world, but there's real power in people who sit back and think and consider before they before they share what's on their mind.
Yeah, I was going to read that one, but I couldn't shut up. That sounds like a cool book that someone else will have to tell me what it's about. No, but I agree. I actually appreciate when someone's introverted. I'm like, I can't be like that, but I do respect it and wish probably I could be a little more like
that. Well, we need both, right, to make the world go
Sure,
around.
Just made me feel better. I appreciate
there
that.
You
Thank
go.
You. Thank you. Third question, who's someone the audience should know more about?
Oh, well, when you were talking about a shout out or someone that you feel like is a, you know, a mentor to you, I'd have to really point out my good friend, Dr. Mauder, J.J. Mauder over here, because, no, I was thinking about this while, you know, Mike and Andrew went. You know, she has been a friend and a colleague of mine for 20 years now and has really just been a true mentor to me in every sense of the world. And I wouldn't be here right now.
All right, we're going to do an awe on three. One, two, three. It's going to come off so well when I edit that in. It's going to be great. No, it's a great answer. And
it's true.
You can tell it's, you know, you can tell it's true. It wasn't a butt kissy moment. It came off real well.
Okay, good.
And final question is your parting shot. So if you're going to leave the audience both in the room, outside, you know, downloading the stuff and listening on iTunes and Google Play, what do they want to know? What do you want to know?
I would just say never stop learning and always be open to the process of learning and to an opportunity to be better and to do better. And never step away from an opportunity to make a connection.
Love that right here. Let's hear it. Jennifer Fay.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jimmy McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.
Our home on the internet.
PTPinecast.com.
Created by BuildPT. BuildPT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting.
To providing content marketing solutions.
For PT clinics across the country.
See what BuildPT can do for you today.
At BuildPT.com.
Establishing permanent access to orthopedic rehabilitative services in the country of Haiti through direct patient care and clinical training of its citizens. That is what Stand the Haiti Project is. Find out how you can help at StandHaitiProject.org.